We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff, his pregame thoughts ahead of game two there. And, you know, one of the big things that he said is too many turnovers from game one. He said if you take out the offensive possessions that they had turnovers on, their actually quality possessions actually were there. And that it really was just the turnovers that kind of bogged down their efficiencies in game one. And I think if you want to start with the adjustments for game two, and honestly, it kind of starts with Darius, who had five turnovers. You just can't have the panicky turnovers because of pressure. You've got to adjust. They're going to hold you. They're going to meet you at half court. If not, follow you up the court. They're going to hold on to you, and you just have to adapt to that because the Magic, that might not kill you against the Magic. Mm-hmm. It will kill you against anybody else in the league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll kill you against Boston. It'll kill you against Philadelphia.
I mean, literally any other playoff team, you don't have this kind of margin for error. You only have the turnover margin for error against this team because they just are god-awful offensively.
That's a fact.
So the other thing that I think stood out was, you know, he was talking about coming off game one and trying to make game-to-game adjustments. And it was actually a great question by Chris Fedor. And, you know, what JB said that I thought was interesting is, you know, you don't just try and look at what didn't work for you. You're trying to look at what actually worked for them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you get into a game situation and like the first, what, 6-7 minutes of the third quarter, nothing was working for anyone. And so, like, that's a scenario where there's not really a lot to glean from that. Don't do what you were doing there. Stay within yourself. But I do think it's interesting to kind of look back. And I'll be honest, I'm hard-pressed to find what the Magic did that actually worked in game one. But I think when you start to look at the improvements for the Cavs in this game, that is where it is. Finding out what the Magic did well, or looking back and see what did they actually do well, what did they have success on, and finding a way to stop it or do that thing better than them.
Well, and that's where we're at now. You have to, if they do it well, you've got to do it better than them. And I don't know. I mean, in the end, can they stay with a team like Boston? Can they do things better than they can do?
Well, that's just talking about game two.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm already.
Are you already looking ahead to Boston?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking ahead, man. I'm allowed to. I'm a fan.
That's true. I just think it's funny that you've been the guy that's like, I think this is going to be the close to the game, and in the course of 5 hours, now you're like, so when's Boston going to be here? Because that's the series I'm more interested in. I think it would be easy to say you've got to draw more fouls. I think what's more important is, and this is probably on Darius, the outside shot with Darius, guys, it's going to come and go. He's been inconsistent there this year. It's the thing that I don't think's coming this year. The thing that is most important in over the next couple games for me with Darius is getting to the cup and having the authority. A couple times he drove and he kind of did the immediate kick. He didn't even attempt to go up. At some point, I know we're late in the season here. At some point, Darius has to go back and start going up at the cup. Because, again, when he does that, it makes the offense more dangerous. It makes the threat of a driving kick more dangerous. Now, when he drives, I don't think anybody in the world believes he's going to kick it. Or, sorry, that he's actually going to go ahead and take it or at least attempt it. The Cavs faithful are out. Hopefully, this appeases Anthony Lima. I just hope. We should take pictures. And maybe if you want to, you know what you should do? You should take pictures on the street of people walking up in their jerseys so that Lima feels like we finally have embraced this Cavs team enough. Because I just worry. He's so set on the Charlotte game and game one. There's not enough buzz. Hopefully this Harry Buffalo crowd will appease Lima and his never-ending rage.
Dude, his problem is it's not even a problem. He is trying to make these arguments out of a straw man.
Yeah. Oh, I would like you to sell that because it sounds different when you say it than I say it.
I think that he is, for whatever reason, he'll see something. And again, it's a small sample size, right, of what he wants to say.
Yeah.
And so that backs up his argument. And I love Lime. I talked to him this morning before the show. But it's, I mean, that's not the case. I mean, I talked to people who were at the game on Saturday. They said it was absolutely bananas. It sounded amazing on television. I was not at that game. Going tonight, by the way.
Nice.
And I do expect the place to be absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I thought what's interesting about that, I'm so glad you brought up the crowd, because we haven't talked about the crowd from Saturday. It was raucous. And that had been something you were worried about, is because of 1 p.m. tip, not because of Cleveland. And I was blown away. I thought they kept them in there. And I thought the quietest they got was when the Cavs kind of disappeared for about 6 minutes in the third quarter. But they were in it, and they were ready for that. I would dare say the crowd was as ready, if not more ready, than the Cavs were at points in that game. So we do have about 30 minutes left on the show. Peter Lynn's coming up. Do not forget, Peter Lynn also is going to cover you on the post-game show. Also, happy birthday, Jonathan Peterlin. And
oh, today's his birthday.
Today is his birthday.
I have a gift for him.
Is it things you were going to get beforehand, or did you know, or are you co-opting his
birthday? I already had something for him, but it works out now that it's his birthday.
You know what? I just have to cop to this. What JP's birthday reminded me of is that I no longer know anyone's birthday other than my own, my wife, my wife, my children, and my mom's. Everybody else's birthday, like, I've had the same best friend since I was 14 years old, Nate Johnson. We went to Woodridge together, went to BG together. We failed out together. The same thing, the whole thing. But, oh, and by the way, we actually have the Browns draft preview coming up at 7. And then Peter Lynn, happy birthday, Peter Lynn, coming up at 8 today. But I don't remember his birthday. Not just that, like my cabin boys. My cabin boys, whom I go to the cabin with, who, like, we have Friendsgiving together, they are as close as I don't remember their birthdays. The only way I remember anybody's birthday that isn't Vanessa's or my kids, or maybe my mom's, because that's an easy one, is Facebook. I think technology has destroyed my brain to remember things that should absolutely matter to me. I can't remember phone numbers either.
I can't, but here's what I do. I put it in my phone, and that's all I remember.
Which
it's very
one?
Simple.
Birthdays.
Yeah, I mean, on my calendar, well, the good thing is I always, like, put people's birthdays in my, in their, whatever, their card.
Yeah.
What do you call that thing on your phone?
Your SIM card?
Not a SIM card.
Their
contact card.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So it's like name, phone number, birthday,
email, I realize now why stuff. I sound stupid when I said SIM card. Yeah.
I could have been harder on you.
Yeah, you could have been. You know, you could also tell me what's my birthday. Wait, all right, we're pausing here. We're going to see if you put it in my contact card or my SIM card, as some people have said it is. Mac, don't cheat.
September 23rd.
Look at you. Yours is October something. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I got it in the month. See, that's if I can get it in the month, I'm doing good now.
You impressed I had it in my phone?
Yeah. I like feel more, I don't want to say wanted now, but I feel more loved now.
Okay.
216-474-0092. So, again, Peter Lynn coming up at 8. Happy birthday, JP. Thank you to whoever said happy birthday on Facebook to JP, because then it reminded me that JP's birthday is today. But we are talking about Game 2. Let's go with Mike. Mike, what do you want to see in Game 2 from the Cavaliers?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I want to see what I've been wanting to see all year is a little better discipline with the turnovers. That was one area where Orlando beat us last night. And if it wasn't for Banchero turning it over 9 times, I think the score might have been a little bit different. I think I appreciate you guys putting the PRs out, replaying those for us. Because like that was one thing that I appreciated hearing JB say. One of the first things he said was the lack of controlling the turnovers and taking care of the ball a little bit better. So that's about
Mike,
all I got on that.
Mike, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you. Have a good day. Go Cavs.
You too. Go Cavs. Thanks.
See, that's what I like right there. We got to go Cavs from him. Yeah, so the turnover breakdown from 17 turnovers. Good God. 5 from Darius, 5 from Struess, 4 from Donovan, and then 1 apiece from Evan, oh gosh, ADD, George Niang, and Karras. It's not great that when I saw Karras, I said, like, oh, Karras only had 1 turnover. Ha, nice. He also had 5 points. I think this is a game, and here's the thing. I'm so torn on this because if you do handle the ball a lot, there's going to be natural turnovers that do happen. To me, it's a kind of turnovers. You know, turnovers when you get too sloppy with an inbounds pass or when you get, you know, in your head about their pressure. Like Darius had like 3 or 4 of those. They just applied pressure and he kind of just got in his own head about it. Those are the kind of things. Or like being set into an action instead of just letting a play happen. The Struess thing, I was pretty shocked to see Struess had 5 turnovers. I would not have put that together. Now, while we talk about Cavs in game 2, the Athletic, Sam Amick and Josh Robbins put together an anonymous player poll for this year. So it was, I can't tell how many exact people that they tallied up here. But I think it's interesting, as many as 141 players voted on 10 key categories here. And I will say, I got to start here, the funniest thing that came out about this poll to me is they asked who their greatest player of all time was. And it was obviously, I think Michael Jordan got 50% of the votes. I think, LeBron got like 43% of the votes. And then do you know who got a vote? So Kobe got 9% of the votes. So that's like the 3 most leading goat getters. You see what I'm saying. But do you know who got 1 vote? Paul Pierce. I think if you think Kobe Bryant's the greatest basketball player of all time, you and I just see things differently. I think Kobe is one of the greatest of all times. I do not think he's the GOAT. I think it's between Michael, LeBron, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If you wanted to say Magic or Larry, I'd have that conversation. There are 30 other players you can throw in the GOAT conversation before Poops His Pants Paul George shows up. Like, did Paul George pay somebody to vote for him?
I wouldn't put it past him.
That's the thing. Like, Paul Pierce is such a weird goober that, like, I can't put it past that Paul Pierce was like, man, I heard about this anonymous NBA player poll. Nobody's going to vote for me. One of the questions on GOAT, I'll give somebody $5,000 just to put my name in. Because if there is somebody out there who thinks that Paul Pierce is his greatest of all time, I'm sorry. Like, you lose all basketball credibility. Now, some of the other ones here MVP, 41%, just under 42% of players voted Nikola Jokic. 36.9% voted Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. 10% voted Luka. And don't look now, Donovan Mitchell, 1.4% of people voted that Donovan was their MVP, which is interesting because the Cavs were shut out of all major end-of-the-year awards, the seasonal awards. So no Coach of the Year running for JB. Donovan, not one of the finalists for MVP. Sixth man, which I actually thought this guy got robbed. I thought Karras should at least be in the conversation for sixth man of the year. Also robbed. Are you surprised that Donovan got MVP consideration from his fellow NBA players?
Yes, I am.
Why is that?
Because he is sort of, I don't know, I think he's a little under the radar when it comes to, I mean, everyone knows he's like a really, really great player.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you think of MVPs, you're thinking about those guys who are in that top five conversation, right? Thinking about the LeBrons, the Durants, the Giannis's, the Jokic's. I mean, that's sort of where we're at, aren't we, a little bit?
Yeah.
And there's some other younger players who are in that mix as well, but the Jason Tatum's and et cetera. I don't know. I mean, here locally, we love Donovan, and we watch him all the time, but I don't know that nationally he gets the respect that he necessarily deserves.
I think what's interesting about this is Donovan, again, in this anonymous players poll by The Athletic, Donovan got 1.4% of the vote of 141 votes for MVP. Donovan also got 1.2% of the votes for most overrated player. Now, some of the other ones, Rudy Gobert got 13.6%, Jordan Poole got 8.6%, Trae Young got 7.4%. I don't know if you noticed, these are also three players that other NBA players don't like. Like, Rudy is not well-loved, Trae Young is not well-loved, and Jordan Poole obviously got punched in the face by his own teammate.
Who is very much not loved.
Yeah. By the way, Draymond was also on the most overrated players there. Some of the other ones that stood out, actually, my favorite answer here, they said, aside from current coach, which coach would you most want to play for? And aside from your current coach, which coach would you least like to play for? JB Bickerstaff was represented in both. He got, I think, exactly one vote for the coach that players would like to most play for, and he got 2.6% of the votes. He was tied for ninth with coach that these players would least like to play for. So do with that what that will, I would say.
You're going to have to repeat that again.
Do with that what that will. Is it the thou? Did I throw you with a thou?
Do with that.
My goodness.
Sure. You can say it that way. I said it my way.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.